Welcome to One Interview, One World. This is Lainey Kay, and this is a show about interviewing people from all walks of life because everyone has a story to share and we can all learn from each other. I hope you enjoy listening.
We are all one because we all contain an energy that flows through all of us. And that's Reiki. That's what Reiki is. It's this universal life force energy that flows through all living things.
Today I'm talking with Marcy Howard. Marcy Howard is with Reiki Sounds, and we're going to learn how did she get into Reiki and about her. So Marcy, why don't you go ahead and tell me a little bit about you.
Learned Reiki from a friend, actually, in Seattle. I had done some work with a healer who now is living in Utah, and I was very impressed with his methodology and his spirituality. And I had been living, I guess what you would call a spiritual life, prior to my meeting him, but I really didn't know, well, what do I do with all this information that would flow through me, or that I would read about, or that someone might teach me, or I might learn. So I had gone to him because I had a situation in my body. They were telling me I needed surgery, and I didn't want to have surgery. So I had learned about him through his brother, and I had never met a healer, someone who was a healer before. So I called this man that I had been dating and said, I need to see your brother. And I went to see him, and I was totally amazed. I worked with him for 6 months. I never did have surgery for what it was that the doctor said I needed to repair. And I watched him. I observed him. I learned from him. His teacher, who had passed away, would also come to me in dreams. So I would learn from him as well. Wow. Which was really mind-boggling at that time in my life. I would have premonitions, and even the healer would be surprised that some of them would come true. I really had what we would call an opening, a major opening at that time. And I knew that I wanted to do the work, but I didn't know, well, what will it look like? What will I call it? How will I get it out there? It felt funny saying, well, I do the work that this guy does. I don't want to say his name because I don't have permission to use it. But I just couldn't figure out how to make it happen. I knew that one of the things that blew me away about the healer was the rapture on his face and in his eyes when he worked with other people. It was like how I would envision the love of Jesus to look like. Or the love of Gandhi, or the love of someone else who was so connected in those moments to spirit and the divine, that energy. And I would see his ecstasy, and I would weep. It would open my heart and make me weep as he was healing someone else. It was really astounding. And it's what I wanted. I wanted it for myself. And I began to work with people a little bit, but I had no format, no modality. I just kind of did what I did. I used, energetically, I might use my voice a little bit. I even had someone at one point in my life channel this whole process of learning how to sing. And I literally opened a business teaching people how to sing from a metaphysical viewpoint. It was quite amazing. Maybe sometime we'll talk about that, but that's a whole other story. But it was all part of where I was going, but I didn't know it at the time. I finally moved to Seattle I was living in LA. I was tired of LA. And Seattle is where I was born, where my father's family was. And they all raised me as a child. So I wanted to go back and be with my aunts and my uncles and my dad's family and my cousins. And so I did. So I moved back up to Seattle. And I met a woman at a community that I was involved in. She was a Reiki master, and I was telling her, because she was a healer, I wanted her to know about this person that I had worked with and how he had touched my life. And she said, you know, I'm a Reiki master. My response was, what's Reiki? I had never heard of it at that point. And she explained what it is to me, and she said, how about I teach you Reiki, and then you can incorporate what you know into the Reiki.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how it started.
Oh, I see.
So she taught me Reiki 1, and then I bought a book called Essential Reiki and learned a little more and began to work with people. Now, technically, you're supposed to do Reiki 2 to be able to work with people, but I was already beyond it. In a sense. So when I moved back here, I found someone who happens to be a masseuse and a minister and a Reiki master, and she and her teacher taught me Reiki 2 and then Reiki 3, so that I completed my full training. I am a Reiki master, and I'm able to teach people. That's all that that means. It doesn't mean you're masterful, or you've mastered it as much as it means you're able, you know it well enough to teach to others, to pass on energetically the information and to attune someone to the energies. What happens, Reiki is one of the only modalities of healing where it goes from master to student.
Okay.
So if you want to do Reiki, you can't just decide, oh, I'm going to do Reiki. Okay, I can do Reiki now. Doesn't work like that. It's a universal energy that's out there. It's Japanese, the origin is Japan. For a gentleman named Dr. Yusui, and that's traditional Reiki. There's other kinds of Reiki now that have manifested as a result of people working with the energy and moving to a certain level with it. And it's the one particular type of Reiki that works with the energies of Kuan Yin, the Chinese mother of compassion. So it all goes together, and it's all separate, and it's all about energy, all of it. So
so how long ago did Reiki start?
If I remember correctly, it started in the late 1800s. I'm not 100% sure, but I believe that's when it started in Japan, and then came to this country.
Okay.
And it at one time it was rather expensive to do a Reiki training, especially the third training, because they wanted to keep a certain exclusivity to it. But it's more inclusive now and much more reasonably priced. When it came to this country, it's been shifted and changed a little bit. Every time you learn Reiki, not only do you learn the technique and the how-to, but you also get an attunement. So your chakras are open and your crown chakra, things are opened so that you can receive that universal energy is literally placed within you and then sealed. So it's always there for you. So Reiki is nothing more than an exchange of energy. You know, I stand there, I give you Reiki, your life force energy says, oh, Reiki, give me some. And it takes what it needs and it places it where it needs to go. There's no manipulation, not in the Reiki that I give. And Reiki typically is not about manipulating energy as much as being present with the energy so it can be given and taken at the same time.
Very interesting. So going back to the original healer, Was he kind of, in a way, doing like a Reiki healing? It was completely different.
No, his story was very different. Mm-hmm. He had been in a car accident years before and almost died. And in fact, I'm not sure if he may have died and come mm-hmm. back into his body, but that I'm not sure of. But his leg was very, very damaged, and it became gangrenous, and they wanted to amputate. He refused to let them, and his teacher, about 2 months before he arrived, he ended up at UCLA. Mm-hmm. Before he arrived at UCLA, his teacher said to Thelma Moss, who was the head of the parapsychology department there, said to her, a young man is going to come in with his parents or a mother, and he's going to need me. He's going to need a healer, and I want you to call me. I know I'm supposed to work with this person.
Wow.
So then he ended up at UCLA, and they called this teacher, and he came and began to work with him and began to heal and show him how to do it. It isn't that we as healers do something special or magic necessarily, but we show the client how to heal themselves. And that's what this healer was doing, saying, this is what you do to heal the pain, the poison, the toxin, the broken bone, the broken tissue. And so this man's experience of healing this leg that was literally falling off his body is in the annals of UCLA. They healed bone mass, tendons, muscles, and he walks. They told him he would never walk again.
So the modality the healer was using was
his own modality. Uh-huh. It was something that he channeled. The original healer, the teacher, mm-hmm. Was by profession an exterminator, pest control.
My goodness.
And he would go into somebody's house and he'd tell them to leave.
Yeah.
And he would meditate in the house and locate the nest. And that's all he would poison. He would just get the nest, and once the nest was gone, all the creatures would be gone because they had no place to go back to, so they'd leave. So less toxic material. Just lasered right in. And he did healing like extermination. You know, he would track, something they call tracking, with his hands, and he would find the nest, if you will, and eliminate it, and the patient could begin to heal.
Okay. So can you explain a little bit about the energy and in the body, or the energy around us that we're discussing? So I guess a layperson would understand better.
I don't know.
But basically it sounds like these are working with like healing like a blockage that probably has to do with like...
Well, if you think about it, here we are, these bodies, mm-hmm. right? These bodies of bone mass and muscle and tissue and skin are containers. They contain energy. So there's energy all around us. I'm being very unscientific now, and I'm sure there'll be phone calls about or stuff online. That's wrong, but that's okay. I'm not a scientist. But imagine that this planet is nothing but energy, right? Mm-hmm. And it takes form because we make containers, or containers have been made. A tree is a container for a certain energy. A raccoon is a container for a certain kind of energy. So our bodies contain energy. And what makes us all one, everybody uses that terminology, we're all one, but we're individuals. We all have our own personalities, our own shtick, but we are all one because we all contain an energy that flows through all of us. And that's Reiki. That's what Reiki is. It's this universal life force energy that flows through all living things. And when we can tap into that and send that, then we send somebody, let's say you have a broken bone, okay, in your body. And so at the place of that brokenness, there is disruption energetically. And so I offer you a little extra. I say, here's the energy that's disrupted in its full form, in its wholeness, and you can have this. And you say, your life force goes, yippee, it's exactly what I need. And it takes no more or no less than what it needs. So one can never be overwhelmed with Reiki. And as I bring it in and let it flow through me into you, I get Reiki too. So Reiki is not an exhaustive practice. I'm not exhausted at the end of the day. I may be exhausted if I'm doing counseling work. Mm-hmm. That can be exhaustive.
Yeah.
But that's what Reiki is. And to put it together with sound, because sound is this great vibration that literally moves the energy. It can make it tighter. It can spread it out. So it's great at removing blocks. So I use the sound to manipulate. Okay? So I use the sound. If I sense a blockage in someone, I'm going to use sound to kind of take the bricks down, to kind of go right through it instead of around or over or under it. I'm going to try to bullseye it and begin to chisel away at it. Depending upon the person I'm working with, depending upon what it is I'm working with, my intention is never to overwhelm somebody with energy. My intention is that people leave my table, leave my room at peace, feeling energized, feeling strong, feeling hopeful, and feeling good.
Very neat. So sound, is that something that you learned with Reiki, or is that something you incorporated? Did you learn that from the other healer?
I learned sound therapy from, I don't know if I can say his name, so I'm not going to, but there are two very strongly and well-known sound healers. They're both men.
Mm-hmm.
One is in the Washington State area, and one is in Colorado. And they do profound work, and they teach. They teach people how to be sound healers. Some people use instruments for their sound. Some people use vocals for their sound. So everybody has a different way of doing it and creating it. I use my voice. I use drums, singing bowls, brass bowls, chimes, whatever makes the sound that I want to work with. And I use those sounds. I use the breath, like the wind, and I actually give Reiki with the breath. That is not taught, but something that Dr. Yusui, the founder of Reiki, talks a lot about.
Okay.
And I literally, Reiki works with symbols, drawing symbols and saying certain words, and I draw the symbol in my mouth with my tongue, and then I blow the air out so that that energy goes to the client. So a lot of times people will say to me, "You're breathing really heavy. Are you okay?" Uh-huh. And it's really about me using my breath to move energy. It's kind of Reiki and it's kind of sound at the same time. So they fit really well together. Mm-hmm. So, and I am a singer. I've sung for years, and so being able to use my voice to chant, you know, I'll listen to people and I'll hear a melody and I'll begin to chant the melody. And in fact, have had a few, not many, people say to me, "I know that melody."
Wow.
So they recognize it as a melody that they've heard inside of themselves. And I hear it and I sing it to them. So they're not melodies that I learned somewhere and then I'm sharing it.
Uh-huh.
So
it just comes naturally.
It comes. have a guide that works with me, a Hopi, and so sometimes it's what's the word I'm looking for? It's neither male or female. So it manifests however it manifests, and I recognize the voice when it comes through me. So sometimes it's me singing and sometimes not.
Wow.
It's always very spontaneous. I don't plan it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you hear something you really like and you want to come back the next day and record it, guess what? It's gone.
Mm-hmm.
So the next day it'll be whatever it is. I might remember someone's melody for a tiny bit afterwards, but as soon as I have a new client, it's gone. So the sound, that's why it's called Reiki sounds. The sound mm-hmm. gives me more availability to energy and more ability to do the work that I love to do, which is really turning people on to their potential, you know, and helping them feel good, giving them hope when a situation feels hopeless.
Yeah. So if somebody comes to you and they've never done Reiki before, so you sit down and you explain it to them, and then explain like how a session would go.
Well, my sessions are 90 minutes.
Uh-huh.
So I let people know that it's basically a 90-minute session. I let people know that I am a minister, so I do counsel if I feel it's necessary. And in that space, I'm very intuitive, probably clairvoyant. And so I use those skills to get to the root of something if I feel it's necessary and to find out about the person. And then I tell them a little bit about my background. This is my background. This is where this comes from. Here's what you can expect to feel.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'll say, you'll feel my hands get warm. You might feel them get hot, but they won't hurt you. That just varies with each person. You might feel a vibration. You might feel a tingling. All of that is part of the Reiki process. You might feel nothing, but it doesn't mean you didn't get Reiki. So everything, you might fall asleep. That's okay. You need to sleep. So I talk to them about that. I talk to you about the breath and how I use the breath so you're not surprised by all the sound of the wind and the breathing. I talk about the chanting, so you can expect that I'm going to sing a little bit with you toward the end of the session, and the different instruments that I use, why I use the singing bowl in the way that I use it, and the pitch and what it represents. So I explain to most people, especially if you've never had a session before, I try to make it comfortable not scary. I'm not here to scare someone or make them feel strange. I tell them what to expect at the end. They can expect to feel peaceful and calm. And that's pretty much how it goes.
Mm-hmm. So maybe tell us about different types of clients that come in for what types of things, or maybe like when they come in.
People come in for all kinds of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Everything from people come in if they're going through a divorce and their heart's breaking, or they broke up with a boyfriend or a girlfriend. They'll come in and they want to heal their broken heart. People come in because they have physical illnesses, everything from cancer to cerebral palsy to MS, I mean, all different kinds, to migraines,
mm-hmm.
Or cramps. I mean, it's different. It's different for everyone. A back problem, a neck problem, a fear of cancer. You know, I've had clients come in convinced they have cancer, and finally, when I get them to go to the doctor, guess what? There's no cancer. So that's can be part of it. People come in and say, I want a more spiritual life, and I haven't got a clue how to start that. So I'll work with them to find their path, mm-hmm. to help them. So the whole goal of my work is to help the client find the path to healing. And if you want me to stand beside you and give you Reiki and sound treatment while we walk on this path, I'm delighted to do that. That's really, you know, I don't stand over people, go ooga booga, and then there's magic and it's gone. Mm-hmm. It's not what I do. Have there been spontaneous healings on my table? Absolutely. But I don't set up that expectation. It's not what I want people to. I think it's unfair to me and it's unfair to the client. Mm-hmm. I try to be as realistic as possible. You know, let's face it, I mean, it's a weird practice, right? We're working with energy. It's not black and white.
Right.
It sits in the middle somewhere. But my job is to make it safe and available to anyone who would like to work with it. So
very interesting. Would you like to share a little bit about, like, your spiritual side or anything interesting as you were growing up? Or
when I was a child, I grew up in Anaheim, and at that time, homes were built with big yards, so we had a great big yard. And I used to lay on the grass, and we always had collies growing up, so my collie would lay down next to me, and I had a lassie dog, and I would daydream. I would look at the clouds and daydream and talk to God. And I talked to God a lot, and my mother would say, "Who are you talking to?" And I'd say, "God." And she'd say, "I couldn't say anything. What could I say?" Okay. So I did that for a long, long time, until my late 20s, actually. I believe that God talked to me all the time. And my late 20s, I had an experience with drugs that was pretty overwhelming. I had a near-death experience, and God went out the window. Mm. So I had to spend a portion of my life, about 7 years, recovering and finding myself and finding a different kind of belief system in spirituality. I have been fortunate to have had, I think, some of the most amazing teachers. Marianne Williamson, Louise Hay. I did Course in Miracles with Marianne when she was doing it in West Hollywood in a little church on a Saturday morning. Louise Hay, before she'd only written one book. So I don't know them personally, but they were my teachers. They were part of my teaching. And there were other teachers as well. And the healer, a rabbi, Stephen Levine, may he rest in peace, and his wife were teachers. I took workshops with them. So to me, I felt like I had the best of the best in terms of teachers. And Wayne Dyer, before, I think he had one book out before he was as well known as he is, Deepak Chopra. So I learned from books, I learned from workshops. I was like a sponge, and I wanted to know what these people had that I felt I didn't have until I felt I did have it. And until I felt healed from the incident that almost killed me, and that took a while. Mm-hmm. And then my life was completely different. It was completely... My spiritual practice changed. I meditated. My religion expanded into all religions instead of the boundaries of just one religious belief. I could not contain myself in just one religious belief. It had to be much greater than that. And I began to do the vocal work, teaching students about freeway and shower singers, how to sing based on metaphysics and spirituality. And from that grew the healing work.
Do you want to elaborate a little bit on that?
Well, I had a small cabaret in Tarzana at one time, and I taught people a class. Well, I can't use the one name because it belongs to somebody else. But I taught. We called it Singing from the Inside Out, and I taught people who wanted to sing in public, who always dreamed of that, how to sing, how to do that, how to stand up on a stage and sing for their friends. And people would invite their friends and they'd sing in the cabaret, and we did all kinds of shows. There was the thing that we had in common, everybody had in common, was you had to do part one, no matter how experienced you were. You had to do the process of part one, which is where the spirituality of music and singing came into play. So if you didn't do that, then you didn't have that common denominator between you and every other student who was then doing performance classes. So I got the idea from a friend who channeled it. We had gone to see Wayne Dyer. And he had talked about sometimes you get information for other people when they're not listening, which is exactly what happened. She channeled all this information. She heard this voice tell her about singing and healing and blah, blah, blah. But it wasn't for her. It was for Marcy. So she called me, and I went, well, that's interesting. And I got off the phone, and I called my friend who lived in the apartment building that I lived in, and I said, hey, Flo, you want to learn how to sing? I haven't a clue what I'm going to do, but if you're interested, would you do it? And she said, yes. So she came over, and we began to sing, or she began to sing Happy Birthday. And all of a sudden, I could hear a voice inside of me say, tell her this, whatever it was. So I did. She started to cry. And then we talked about why she cried. And then I said, okay, let's have you sing Happy Birthday again. And a whole other voice came out of her. And I went, aha, I'm on to something here. So that's where the process started. So eventually, there was a private school where a friend of mine worked as program director. They had advertised a class, and the teacher quit before it started. So she asked me if I'd want to do it. She says, I based it on your work anyway. I said, okay. So I started teaching there. It became very popular. And then I took it to my own arena and until I moved to Seattle. So that's, and then I did it in Seattle, and I did it in Spokane, and I did it wherever I went. I've even done one class here in Orange County. But I basically teach people how much fun it is to sing and how empowering it is to do something that you're afraid of. When you do something, when you turn and face your demons, when you turn and face the fear, there is nothing more powerful than that. You begin to feel like, I can do anything. If I did this, if I did this for 3 minutes, I can do anything. And that would be what would happen. Now, some of these people are still singing. They went off in their own direction as a group of singers, and they make their own shows now, and they're doing their own thing. And some of them could quit their day jobs if they wanted to. Some of them shouldn't. But the truth is that I gave everybody permission to sing. So even if you're never going to be a professional singer by the standards we use for that to happen, you still can come to my class and sing. You still had a place to come sing and enjoy the music. So there was healing in that. The offshoot of that work eventually became what I'm doing now with sound, with Reiki sounds.
That's very interesting and beautiful.
Yeah. I had a good time with it. I had a really good time with it.
Do you want to share anything else that you think would be good for people to know about Reiki?
Well, I think that I've really shared a lot. You know, I do have a website. So people can, you go to my website and you can learn about me. You can learn about what I do. It's ReikiSounds.org, not .com, but .org. And take a look at it. It's easy to schedule an appointment with me. You can do it online. You can call me. You can text me. I'm pretty out there. I'm pretty available to people
mm-hmm.
who are curious about Reiki or who feel that energetically they need some healing work to be done. So I think that I've pretty much explained everything.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you have questions.
No, I think that's really helpful. So spell Reiki, because some people wouldn't know how to spell it.
So it's spelled R-E-I-K-I. It's pronounced R-A-Y hyphen K-E-E, Reiki. It's two what they call kanji, Japanese symbols. And when they're put together, they look like a human being.
Oh.
And so it's called Reiki, Universal Life Force Energy, is what it refers to.
So ReikiSounds.org.
.org.
Okay.
Right.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's great.